I want to speak to you this afternoon, and I promise I will not be long-winded, but I want to speak to you on the theme or the subject, a young man's encounter with Christ. You see, as you read the Holy Scriptures, and as you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you discover that on many occasions, different individuals, men and women, came to meet with and to converse or have a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Old people came to meet with the Savior. I think the most famous old person who met with the Lord was Nicodemus, and you will read of him in John chapter 3. Jesus told him that he needed to be born again, and he didn't understand it. He didn't understand what Jesus was telling him, and the Lord went on to explain how that it was a spiritual birth, a new beginning brought about in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that old man had an encounter with Jesus that led to a transformation of his life when he was saved from his sin and born again of the Spirit of God. As I read the Gospels, I also discover that there were middle-aged people who had encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of that man, particularly in John chapter 5, who lay at the pool of Bethesda. And we're told that he had an infirmity or an illness for 38 years. And so he was a middle-aged man. If he was sick for 38 years, he had to be at least middle-aged for the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke to him. So he was a middle-aged man. And the time he met with the Lord told him to rise up and walk. He healed him and he gave him a new life. And it's a picture of God's salvation. When Jesus forgives our sins, we have new life in Jesus Christ. But the portion of Scripture that I want to particularly draw your attention to is the one that was read to us by Nathan, where a young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he was a young man because in Matthew's Gospel, he specifically tells us he was a young man. Jesus addressed him as a young man. And the lesson to us there for everyone in this meeting this afternoon is that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a Savior for old people, or for middle-aged people, or for young people. He is a Savior for all. And whether you are old, whether you are middle-aged, or whether you are young, Jesus Christ is the one that you need to take away your sins, to make you right and ready for the world and eternity to come, so that you can enjoy the bliss of eternal life in heaven when your life on earth is over. Now, there are a number of things I want to say to you briefly about this young man's encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want you to remember is this. He had an interest in Jesus Christ. His interest in the gospel. I wonder if I was to pick out some of the young people, the juniors this afternoon, and ask them what their interests were in life. I would maybe get all sorts of different answers. A man, obviously, so I'm always thinking about the boys and what they're interested in. And I know there's a boy in my house, and it's PlayStation, it's football, it's meeting up with his friends. It's definitely not schoolwork. That's not an interest that he has. But maybe there's some of the girls, and it is, your interest is study. Or maybe some of the girls are interested in music or in some other thing. And each one of us have different interests in life. And I have no doubt that this young man had various interests in his life, but he also had an interest in this man called Jesus. How do I know that? Because in verse 17, it tells us when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Now, let me just tell you that Jesus was on a journey. He was going from the north of Israel to the south of Israel. He was going to Jerusalem, and there he was going to die on the cross, and he was passing through all the little towns and villages. And he was leaving this man's village, and this young fella, he ran to meet him. He didn't want to miss him. He had heard about this man and his preaching. No doubt he had heard about him working miracles. feeding the hungry, healing the sick, raising the dead. And he thought, I have a question, and if there's a man who can answer this question, it's this prophet, it's this Messiah, the man they call the Son of David, Jesus of Nazareth. And he ran to meet this man. And I wonder today, young people, and in fact everybody in this service, out of all your interests in life, whether it's sport, whether it's some other thing, maybe some of you have a great interest in your history, and I know you've been learning about that in this Reformation year, and you have an interest in looking back and to see why we believe the things we believe and we do the things that we do, and what we walk and march to celebrate and remember. Maybe that's one of your great interests. But in all our interests in life, I want to ask you this question. Have you any interest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? In his teaching, in his preaching, in his ministry, and in his gospel. And I trust this afternoon that you will have an interest in the things of God, even as this young man had. He came running to ask the Savior a question. The second thing is this. Not only do we note his interest, but I want you to pay special attention to his inquiry. What did he actually ask? Well, listen to verse 17 again. He asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Isn't that a good question? It's an important question. It deals with the great subject of eternal life. You could ask no greater question. Now, let me say to you that this young man, he understood that there was such a thing as eternal life. In this world, we are surrounded by death. As a minister, you're often confronted with the reality that you have to conduct funeral services. And oftentimes, you can get funeral service after funeral service after funeral service, and you realize, in this life in which we live, we are surrounded by death. And we need to understand the reason why death came into the world was because our first parents in the Garden of Eden sinned against God. They broke his commands. And the Bible tells us, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so sin passed upon all men, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In these physical bodies, we do not have life eternal. Our body will die someday. And the Bible teaches us that every one of us, unless the Lord returns first, we will all face and we will all walk the valley of the shadow of death. But the good news of the gospel is this. There is such a thing as eternal life. Because the Bible tells us that when our bodies die, our souls enter a place that the Bible calls, in fact, Jesus called it, the world to come. We have an immortal soul. And though our body one day will die, our soul will live on. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew and in the chapter 25 and the verse 46, the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to these words that he spoke. He said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." And there the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke about eternal life, and he spoke about eternal punishment. And I believe this young man knew all about it. He knew there was such a thing as eternal life in heaven with the Lord, but he also knew that there was such a thing as eternal punishment. For sin to be recompensed and judged for all eternity. And he did not want to face eternal punishment, eternal destruction. He wanted eternal life. And so he's asking Jesus, "What do I do to receive eternal life?" Isn't that a good question? If you know today there's such a place as heaven, but there's also such a place as hell, wouldn't we want to ask the question, well, what do I have to do to make sure that I'm in heaven, that I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord, and I will not enter that place Jesus spoke about as eternal punishment? You see, that's the most important question, young people. How we can have eternal life. Do you know why it's the most important thing? Jesus made a wee statement one day in Mark 8 and 36, and he said this. Listen carefully to it. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What benefit would it be to you if you could gain all the money in the world, all the power in the world, all of the entertainment and pleasure in the world? If you could get it all, and yet, we know that's not possible, but if you could, if you were to lose your own soul, everything you've discovered and received and inherited and gained in this life would mean absolutely nothing to you if you were to lose your soul in that place Jesus described as everlasting punishment. So this is the most important question you could ever ask. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this young man asked it. And you know, he not only had the right question, but he went to the right person, because Jesus was the one who could answer it. The Apostle Peter said of Jesus, thou hast the words of eternal life. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that has the answer if we want to know how we can have eternal life. So here was a young man, and he had an interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had an inquiry, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He didn't want his soul to be lost. He wanted to be in heaven. The third thing I want you to notice is this. I want you to consider the instruction that he received. You see, the Lord Jesus answered his question. When people came to the Lord gave them an answer. Now, he had a very strange answer. And I find it strange. You see, the Lord Jesus said to him, thou knowest the commandments. Wonder, do you know the commandments? Jesus said this man, you know the commandments, don't you? There's 10 of them. And then he starts to name some of them. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And, you know, I find it strange that Jesus should start to rhyme off the commandments to this man when he asked him about getting to heaven and gaining eternal life. Do you know why I find it strange? Because the Bible tells us, by the deeds of the law, or by the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. In other words, you can't get to heaven. You can't be saved from your sin. Your sin can't be forgiven by trying to keep the law. Do you know why? You can never keep the law. We break God's law in our mind, with our words, and by our actions. And why then did Jesus start to talk to this young man about the law? Well, the Bible also tells us that by the law is the knowledge of sin. We only know we're sinners because of God's law. God's law says we're not to steal. We're not to bear false witness. That simply means we're not to tell lies. We're to honor our mother and father. We're not to defraud. We're not to commit adultery. And when we read the commandments and when we realize we can break them in our thoughts, with our words, or in our actions, then we understand that we're sinners. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And Jesus wanted this young man to understand, firstly, that if he was to gain eternal life, he had to understand and know that he was a sinner, and that he had broken God's law. Do you know the tragedy about this young man? He didn't realize he was a sinner. He said in verse 20, he answered and said unto Jesus, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. In other words, I haven't broken any of the commandments. he didn't realize that he was a sinner. He thought he was keeping the commandments, and yet there's none of us can keep the commandments of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are condemned under the law. And the Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And the first thing, if we are going to have eternal life, we must understand that we have broken God's law, and therefore we must face the penalty of the broken law. But then I want you to consider that when Jesus taught him about eternal life, he not only spoke about the commandments, but he showed him compassion. For after this young man said that he had kept the commandments of the Lord, Jesus, it tells us in verse 21, beholding him, it says he loved him. Isn't that wonderful? That even in his state of sin and ignorance, Jesus had compassion upon him and Jesus loved him. And we can say to each one in the meeting today, that in our state of sin and misery, God and His Son, Jesus Christ, loves sinners. I'm sure all the children know the little chorus. They've learned it from their earliest days. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you know how we know that Jesus loves us? He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. And He shed His blood and He died, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal and everlasting life. Jesus, He showed him the commandments to show him his sin. He showed him His compassion to show that there was a way of salvation for him. And then in instructing him, He gave him a wee word of counsel, a wee word of advice. It tells us in verse 21, He said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Now, why did Jesus ask him to go and give away all his money and to give it to the poor and follow him? Does that mean that we have to do that? No, the Lord Jesus Christ was identifying one issue for this young man. You see, this young man, even though he thought that he hadn't broken the commandments of the Lord, he loved money more than he loved God. Because it tells us he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus was setting him a wee personal test. Jesus knew his sin and his problem. And Jesus said, "You set that thing to the side that you love the most. You turn away from it and you follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven." Do you know what he was really saying? He was really saying, "Repent of your sin and believe in me and you'll have treasure in heaven." You see, men and women, boys and girls, if we want eternal life, we have to realize that we're sinners. We have to recognize Jesus loves sinners and died on the cross to provide a way of salvation for them. But we have to personally repent of our sin. Repent means to be sorry for it. To be willing to leave it behind, set it, turn from it, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we repent of our sin and believe the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins, the Bible says we have eternal life. I wonder today, can I ask you a question personally? I'm not going to ask for you to respond in any public show or way. But I wonder, would you answer in your own heart? Do you have eternal life? That when your body dies, you know that your soul will not go to that place of everlasting destruction, but it will go to that place of everlasting life. The Bible calls it heaven, the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, the city foursquare. Have you got the assurance that you have eternal life? Have you repented? Has there been a time in your life when you have repented of your sin and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? I had that experience when I was 17 years of age. I'd been brought up in a Christian home. I'd been sent along to church and Sunday school, but I had rejected it for my early teenage years. And having left school and come home from work one evening, I took down my Bible and I began to read it. And there at my bedside, I asked the Lord to forgive my sin, to give me eternal life, that I wanted to be a Christian. Have you had that experience? You can have it today. You can have that experience even where you sit. The Bible tells us of a man who came into the temple of God. And he came in and he confessed his sin. And though he came in a sinner on the road to destruction, he left God's house, a child of God, on the road to heaven. Have you had that experience? You see, the final thought that I want to put to you this afternoon, this young man had an interest in the gospel. This young man had an inquiry about the gospel. He had instruction in the gospel. But then finally, and sadly we have to say, he had indecision about the gospel. Verse 22, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. When he heard the gospel and he heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach, what the Lord told him, it didn't sit well with him. Maybe if the Lord had have told him, attend the temple every Sunday until you die, you'll have eternal life. Maybe if the Lord had have told him, observe the sacrifices of the Old Testament time, and then you'll get to heaven. Maybe if the Lord had have told him, make sure that you go through all the rites and rituals of the Jewish church, and then you'll have eternal life. Maybe he would have been happy with that. But the Lord told him, you need to repent of your sin, and you need to follow me by faith. And he was sad. He didn't want to do that. And he went away. And you know, the Bible does not tell us anything more about this young man. We don't know if he ever got right with God, if he ever did repent and believe. But he went away grieved. I wonder, how do you go away when you hear the gospel? When you hear the word of God, do you go away grieved? Does it make you angry? Does it make you sad? Or does it gladden your heart that there is a way to be saved from our sin? And Jesus Christ has provided that way for us by his death upon the cross of Calvary. Hearing the gospel, how will you go away? Will you go away grieved? Or will you go away glad? It would be our prayer that as you hear the word of God, that you will receive it in your heart and follow in the footsteps of the great reformers of the faith, and put your personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Let's bow in prayer.